Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm Matt and this is James, and today is our Criterion of the Month, and the movie we are doing is Thief, directed by Michael Mann.
1981.
All right, so I'm back. I was in Nashville for the weekend. It was a long weekend.
How was it?
Overall, it was fun. And we did the usual. We did the Country Music Hall of Fame, Grand Ole Opry, did some shopping, and then on Saturday night, we decided to do a true crime ghost tour.
Okay.
And it sucked. Oh. It was really bad. Like, they could have picked so much. Like, I looked up, like, true crime and, like, ghost stories of Nashville, and I found a lot more interesting stories than the ones that were told. And it was a little chilly. We had to walk a lot.
Was it as cold as it is here now?
No.
It was way too cold. It is like, what is the high today is, what, 30, 38, and the low is 26.
Yeah, it's 32 right now, I believe. 36. It's 36 today, right now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad. But did a lot of walking, and no offense to the tour guide, but she drug out stories so much to where it was like
you just put the fries in the bag.
Yeah, you have all this information and it doesn't really mean anything to the final result of the story. So it was a little much, but it was supposed to be, the website didn't tell you exactly how long the tour was, and it didn't tell you necessarily what would be covered. Now I know why. But the tour was, I guess, supposed to be an hour and a half, ended up being 2 hours. And pretty much after the first story, we were like, all right, we're over this. It's not very interesting whatsoever. And
it got warm in here really quickly.
Did it? I'm cold.
I was fine upstairs.
Yeah.
With my jackets on.
Well, the heat's on upstairs. There's no heat down here.
Yeah, I don't know why I got warm.
Yeah.
Maybe the lights.
I don't know.
What have you watched?
All right. So I've been on a Harry Potter kick.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the movie news.
Yeah, it's just, I like watching Harry Potter around this time of year. I feel like it fits perfectly. The first couple came out around this time, and then they changed it to summer releases. So, but I always like watching Harry Potter around this time. So yeah, I've up to 6, the Half-Blood Prince. I watched all of them. I started the Deathly Hallows Part 1 last night, fell asleep. And then while we were in Nashville, we watched Vacation, the 2015 one. Yeah.
Your forehead's going to be so red tomorrow.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable movie. I don't think it holds up next to the originals, but like, it's pretty entertaining. It's kind of funny. So
Charlie Day was interesting. Same with Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was kind of just interesting. But and then watched Terminator 2, Judgment Day. And then I tried watching, since we were in Nashville, Elvis is talked about a lot there. So I watched Elvis to see if anything was like Nashville related.
Is it your first time watching Elvis?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's probably like my third or fourth. I liked the first couple watches. I really liked it. It was a bit much.
I don't like it. I don't like the modern music being in it because that just threw me off.
And yeah.
There's too many, like, I think they focus too early into the movie on, like, they're trying to be like as accurate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just filled up way too much time, so they had to do big time jumps, and then it just,
yeah,
that part didn't.
I mean, just with those biopics, that's kind of, there's a lot of time jumps and stuff like that, and
Austin Butler's voice just kept changing like throughout. It was weird. Was,
yeah, I think his portrayal was actually really good.
Yeah, it's good. It was just his accent was just all over the place, which I know that his accent had changed a lot.
Yeah, but like, he had a hard time getting out of it.
No, like, Elvis's real accent like changed, but like, it was just at some points it would be completely different, and then the next scene it was back to normal.
Yeah,
and then it would like, I don't know, that part, it just kind of threw me off.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's a decent movie. If I take the last three that I've watched, like Bohemian Rhapsody, Rocketman, and this one, this would probably be number two. Rocketman would be the last one.
Okay. I watched Federico Fellini's 8.5. Mm-hmm. I bought the Criterion for it.
Of course you did.
It was that I made a joke and I was like, if it's, I didn't think it was going to be at Barnes & Noble. And I was like, if it's there, I'm buying it.
Okay.
It was there, so I'd buy it.
Is it good? Is it worth doing an
episode? I think it is. Okay. It was fun. But it's not like a lot happens. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like on this ride. It's kind of like watching a Safdie. You know, you're just kind of on the ride with the character. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was fun. I enjoyed it a lot. Then I watched Dodgeball.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. I just put it on, and then because I wasn't like really, I was like just doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So then I just put it on, and then I ended up just sitting down and watching it. Mm. Then I watched David Fincher's Curious Case of Benjamin Button. That's so weird that that's a Fincher movie. Have you seen it?
Yes, it's been a while.
That's weird that that's like a Fincher movie. It just mm-hmm. throws me off. But I liked it. Although I do feel like Benjamin's character is flat, and mm-hmm. I feel like he is probably the worst part of the movie because it just his character is just kind of flat, especially when he gets
it's all about him.
Yeah, especially when he gets younger.
Yeah,
he just kind of loses his character. But the movie was funny too. Like he's like, "How old are you?" I'm 7, but I look a lot older. then I watched Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. I have thoughts that you can hear about on next Tuesday's episode. Yeah. Then I watched a pretty good documentary, actually. I think you've heard of it. It's called Idiocracy. Great movie. Then I watched Dark Shadows. Didn't like it as much as I did when I first watched it.
I've only seen that movie once, and I saw it in theaters. That was it.
And then I didn't log it, but I like kind of passively watched Hangover Part 2. Mm-hmm. And then, last night I watched the first half of Thief, and I was going to watch it this morning. And then I was like, I don't have time. And I got here, and you were like literally at this scene after where I was. So I was like, okay.
Oh, well, that worked out.
I guess I watched it.
Yeah, again. We got a late start this morning. Jackson didn't want to go to daycare, so I probably would have had it finished by the time he came over, but
I was going to finish it, but then I ended up I ended up staying at the gym for longer than I thought.
Okay.
So then I was like, I don't have time to finish it.
Yeah. I'm going to finish the two Harry Potter movies tonight, probably. No, maybe not. Monday Night Raw's on tonight, so I might not. I'll probably finish one and then start the next one and then finish that one tomorrow.
Did we go see part two together? Because I remember going to watch it with Dad, but I don't remember if it came out in the summer or not.
Yeah, So I think after like three, maybe, the rest of them came out during the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. So probably.
Yeah.
Most likely. Yeah, and then I'll watch Frankenstein tomorrow, probably. Maybe. NXT's on, though, so I don't know.
I mean, you get like a week. Actually, no, you don't.
No, we're going to film on Wednesday.
Yep, you got 2 days.
Yeah. Maybe we'll watch it tomorrow morning. I don't know. We'll see.
Or you could watch the first half tomorrow morning. You watch part one.
Long, though. You said it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Yeah.
That's such a long time.
Yeah. I mean, this one was, 2 hours? Right at two? A little over
two? It was 2 hours and 2 minutes. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Are you ready to get into this movie?
Yep. So this is our Criterion of the Month, movie Thief. Came out in 1981, directed by Michael Mann. This is his feature film debut.
I think that is insane still. Like, out of all the... I need to make a Letterboxd list of the director's theatrical...
We've watched several recently.
Yeah, the last... Kronos was, Night of the Living Dead was.
So the last three Criterions have been directorial debuts, which is interesting because I feel like it's kind of like to be a Criterion, it requires a lot
We should maybe, well, Federico Fellini's 8.5. Mm-hmm. It's about a director struggling with this movie.
Okay.
And
what's that other movie that's kind of like that?
The Disaster Artist? Yes. I actually put my top four in Letterboxd right now is like my four probably favorite movies about making a movie.
Okay.
So I have The Disaster Artist, mm-hmm. Tropic Thunder, 8.5, and what is the fourth one? The Fablemans.
Okay.
Which that one kind of doesn't really count, but I don't. Mm-hmm. It counts to me. But he didn't know what to call it, and this was his eighth movie, and it's a movie about a movie, so he called it 8.5. Because it's eight and a half movie.
Nice. All right. Well, the genre of Thief is crime, neo-noir, thriller. The runtime is 122 minutes, so 2 hours and 2 minutes. The plot summary, Frank, a professional safecracker and ex-convict in Chicago, dreams of leaving his criminal life behind to start a family and live on his own terms. When he takes on one last high-stakes job for a powerful mob boss, his quest for independence collides with the corruption of and control of organized crime. What begins as a meticulous heist thriller evolves into a haunting meditation on freedom, identity, and fate. All right, what are your first thoughts? Because I think ours are going to be different.
Yep. First time I watched this movie, I was exhausted the whole day. So I like put it on, I was in the car, and then I started like drifting off, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm not watching it now. Second time, basically the same thing happened. Third time, we were on a plane back from Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And then watched it. About halfway through the movie, I was like, because I wasn't a really big Michael Mann fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked Heat.
Yeah, I was going to say, you like Heat.
I liked, do you like I Man thought Hunter? Ferrari was okay.
Do you like Manhunter?
I like Manhunter. Okay. I liked Collateral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just kind of, I didn't really like care for his style that much. And then, so it took me a minute to get into this one. And then I was like, it's good. Mm-hmm. And then got towards the end of the movie, I was like, it's a good movie. And then it ended, and I was like, that's a pretty good movie. And about 30 minutes later, we were on the flight, and we kind of got low enough to where I could turn off my airplane mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started listening to the soundtrack. And then I was just kind of sitting there thinking about the movie. And I was like, this movie's incredible. And this movie is amazing. I love this movie so much. And it is probably my favorite movie at the moment, I think.
Okay.
And I gave it 4.5. But right when I watched it, like right when it finished, I was like on the right past the edge of a 3.5 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, just thought about it, and I was like, I really like that movie. And now I'm a pretty big Michael Mann fan.
Okay.
So now I appreciate like Heat more and Ferrari more. I feel like you're gonna give me a 3.
Everything about the movie was good. Acting, dialogue, visuals, soundtrack, score.
You're going to say pacing. I liked
all of it. The two things that I have an issue with is the pacing. It was very slow. The whole movie was slow. Very slow. And the story itself, I felt like there were several plot holes that I either didn't understand or it didn't make sense to me. And it, as of right now, probably what, 20, 30 minutes removed from watching it?
No way, it's been 20. Has it been 20 minutes?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because okay. I looked at my watch at 12:26 and there was like 10 minutes left. I'm a stick to a 3.5. It was going to be a 3. The last 20, 30 minutes made it a 3.5. But I think that's where I'm going to stay.
I think it's going to go up by the end of this episode.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, because you didn't like Lehane.
No.
What is your rating on Lehane? You said 4 or 4.5?
I think it's a 4.
But right when it ended, you said 2.5.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Let's see what Lehane is.
I think I have Lehane at a 4.5. I feel like with a lot of these types of movies, I almost consider these as like I think about it like a wine taster. Like, you know how it's very, I don't want to use the word tasteful, but like it's like tasteful. Mm-hmm. And it's something that like the more you understand, the more you like get familiar with it, these types of movies, like it's like 8.5. Same thing kind of happened with me with that. Like it just kind of, it gets better with age and mm-hmm. with time. And okay. I think this is definitely one that like on a rewatch, I still was like, love this movie.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can change my mind. So let's get into Thief. All right. So this movie was not what I expected because the movie's called Thief. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting a high octane thriller of a multiple heists.
Kind
of
like Baby Driver.
Yeah. And then we kind of get the first heist and
the opening scene.
Opening scene, which I thought was good, but it was slow. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't really steal anything until the end. So there's two heists that go on. What takes me out of it thinking about it is I didn't really understand the guy that jumped out of a window and died, which is supposed to be like he's the one that's supposed to be moving the product to get the money and stuff like that. So Frank doesn't get his cut of $180,000. He goes and talks to this other guy. There's no kind of explanation of who this person is really, unless I missed it. Wants the money. I don't think I saw him actually get the money. Maybe he did. But, and then it's just, that's kind of it. And then the next and then the rest of it's like a love story. He's trying to make, you know, get out of life of crime and be a straight earner with the used car lot, things like that, start a family. And then was this girl like somebody that he's known for a while?
I think that they're trying to establish that they'd known each other. Maybe they had like tried to have a relationship prior. Mm-hmm. And then they finally kind of got their artificial window of opportunity.
Yeah. And then like they're all of a sudden married, try to adopt because she can't have kids. That doesn't go over well, which I thought that scene was actually really good. The way he...
it's a really good scene.
Yeah, the way he really just got irritated with the fact that like he's a criminal and they're not just going to give a criminal a child to adopt. But then he kind of explains like, oh, well, you've come from like a good upbringing. I do not. So I understand what these kids will probably go through and like just give us a kid. And it doesn't go over well. And then later on, they kind of end up getting one because he gets in bed with this other guy who's kind of like mob boss type. I'm okay with all of that. And then it starts to get a little bit better. It's still pretty slow and things like that. But I think up to that point, mm-hmm. I was lost. I was lost the whole time. Okay. So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole thing.
Okay. It's just, it is, I think, I definitely felt a little lost the first time. Mm-hmm. And then when it ended, it kind of like fully wrapped up for me where I was like, okay, I kind of see this whole thing, how it panned out, and I kind of understand everything that happened. Not mm-hmm. like entirely, not like 100%, but like I got it. I got the message. I was smelling what Michael Mann was stepping in.
Okay.
And then he, I don't know where I was going with that, but he, fully just lost my train of thought. That was weird.
Okay.
That was weird. Okay. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the stuff that we do like. I'm going to start with the score because I like the 80s techno.
The Tangerine Dreams.
Yeah. The techno stuff music, I actually really like. The issue, though,
okay,
is...
The placement?
No, yes, because I feel as though that type of music around the 80s and those types of movies, like I think Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger had a lot of that as well. And it kind of builds you up and kind of excites you for something that happens, and then something happens. With this movie, it kind of, that music for me was building me up in excitement for something major to happen, and then it just falls flat.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of mellows out and nothing really happens. But the score itself with the techno music was really good.
What, apparently Michael Mann still, like, to this day says that he kind of second guesses that style of music for this, because he doesn't really know if it fits. But I don't know, to me it was kind of like each scene that had music like that, it just felt like kind of like what TRT does to your testosterone, where it just goes like this. To me, with the instead of building it just rose everything to up here, and then it maintained.
Okay.
And I like how raw this movie is, because it's not just like, well, here's your guy behind the chair. It's not like your, like, Ocean's 11 type of...
Or Mission Impossible type movies.
They're like, oh, these are...
blue collar thieves.
Yeah. Like, he literally, sits... I like it at the end of the movie when he sits down and he's, like, smoking the cigarette while the other guy's, like, stealing all the diamonds, and he's just, like, sitting there like he's on a lunch break.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, rough day.
Yeah. I mean, the second heist, that... I like how much time it took to get to that point.
That's why I like it so much, because instead of building it, it's just like, here's what's happening. This is, like... It's not dramatized, it's just raw. Like, it's just like the camera takes a step back, and then you just experience what they're experiencing in real time.
Yeah, and mostly. It's not, and specifically with that heist, it's not so much as, like, we get a 5-minute ordeal, and then a lot of stuff is cut, and, you know, they get there, they get in, they get what they need, they get out. It was, they show the work that it took to get to where they were going, and how difficult it was, and then you see everything just kind of happen naturally instead of cutting those specific pieces out of the movie and kind of leaving you to think about how it actually happened. You got to see the whole thing, which was cool.
Yeah. So actually, with their the equipment that they use, they did hire real former criminals and former safecrackers, and they kind of taught them and showed them what they would do, how they'd go through with everything. So all the equipment that they use is real equipment that safecrackers use. And then all the techniques are real techniques, and like even if you look at what's the most realistic safecracking movie or professional burglary, Thief. This one is the most raw, realistic. They're not your big mob guy, he's your big bad or whatever. It's just they're treating it like a business. They're just oh, this is a business, we need this. Can't really veer out of line. They're there to make money.
I like the casting choices for all this. James Caan is great.
Yeah.
He's great.
I don't know if they put a prosthetic in his lip, because his lip was a little...
Yeah, I kept looking when he was talking. I was like, that doesn't... the way his mouth is moving, it doesn't look like him.
Yeah. His scar and his how his eyebrows are all messed up. I'm assuming that's probably heat burns.
Probably. Occupational hazard type thing. But yeah, I thought he did a good job. I liked all the dialogue of the Chicago Italian speech is really good. And
it just reminded me the whole time watching it this time, I just kept thinking of Raging Bull. Specifically the scene when he fights Ray for the 15th time, and then he's like, "You never got me down, Ray. You never got me down."
Yeah.
That's how they talked about this whole movie. And every scene, I was just like, "You never got me down, Ray."
Yeah. Yeah. the dialogue, especially when they pinch him for a broken taillight and they're beating him up. And that scene is really good. And the dialogue
in that is because of Puerto Rican. He's like, I'm Italian.
Yes. Yeah. The whole dialogue in that sequence was really good because it is kind of fast paced dialogue, but little hints of comedy in there. And then just like what's going to happen is really nice. And specifically the beginning where they're beating him up and they start hitting him with the phone book. And then they just like, I'm going to just take this trash can and just beat it over him. And
they're like, literally just looking around like, what else can we throw at this?
Yeah. Guy? Almost. They probably, if they would have kept going, probably used the chair or the table or whatever. But yeah,
I love at the beginning and at the end, when he's like walking through that building with the gun and then everyone's just like staring at him and he's just like awkwardly just kind of walking around.
Yeah, it was weird.
Especially at the end when he like walks into the house and then that woman's just sitting there like...
Yeah. It was really random. And that specific house made no sense to me.
It was a little weird.
Because you get where in the kitchen and then that weird living room where that lady is sitting and minding her own business. It looks just like a normal house. Like nothing special, nothing fancy about it. And then you go into that other room where the mob boss guy is sitting and it's like super fancy and, you know, mansion-like. So it didn't transition well for me on that. And then, their house, Frank's house in the bedroom when he's kicking his wife out.
It feels like a motel.
Yes. Yes. I was like, are they staying in a hotel or not? Cause they had just came back from San Diego. And so I thought maybe they were still there and then they hadn't got around to being home yet, but it did look like a hotel. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. Very generic furniture.
The wallpaper was
weird.
Plain.
And then the door to the outside with the window right there just screamed hotel.
Mm-hmm. I do think, okay, so I've been thinking about this the whole time because I've been waiting to tell you this one, ready? So this movie popularized a thing called a wet down. What is a wet down? It is when you, for example, for this, you fill up the street with water.
Okay.
And then, so it has that like reflectiveness, you know, they popularized that. That's why like every movie after that did the wet down because of Thief. Oh. And they used like 60,000 gallons of water for this. Like it was a lot. And then, but also the like reflectiveness, it tells a story like in itself, like showing Frank's like alternate life and then how it's kind of like shaky, you know? And then you notice at the end of the movie, the streets are like dry when he's basically killing himself, when he's killing that altar side, when he's blown up their house, which that was all practical.
It looked practical. Yeah.
It was a fully practical. They built a house set to rig with specific gasoline spots like in the framing and weakened beams. And then James can't perfectly exit out of frame. And he said that it was like probably one of his favorite like stunts. Hmm. And then he goes to his dealership, blows up the cars, and then takes his photo like collage thing, throws it on the ground. But and then there's no reflections. Like he's fully getting rid of this dreamlike life. And the scenes where you see water all over the ground and it's reflective, it almost feels dreamy, especially with Tangerine Dreams playing. And then now it's like very just like, no, this is his real life now. Now he has nothing to lose.
Yeah, I didn't.
Because that was like his weakness is like, he's like, oh, I'm going to do this to you and this to you. And then he's like, okay, so if I have nothing to lose, then he can't do anything to him if he died at the end.
Okay, yeah. Now that you explain it that way, that makes a little bit more sense. Because as he was doing it, and then we get to the final scenes where he's killing his enemies, it didn't make sense as to... I thought he was doing that to...
Fake his death?
Fake his death, and...
We got a camera problem, so I have no idea when it stopped recording. And then now, to me, I think he leaves, and then he goes... I think he thought he was going to die. So he wanted to do all of this so that he had nothing left to lose. Mm-hmm. So no matter, like, if he died, then his boss couldn't do anything to him. because he had already destroyed his own like kind of legacy.
Yeah, when you explain it like that, it makes sense.
And then I do think that he goes and goes back with Jess.
I would like to think that, yeah, because otherwise it doesn't really make sense as to why he would send her away.
Because he's almost like when he walks away, he's almost kind of like in just the way that he walks and like his final like expression, he's just kind of like, that was surprising.
Yeah, I didn't get the whole blowing up your house or blowing up your his dealership, because I thought he was just like faking his death. And then he immediately just goes straight to that house to finish off his employer, former employer. And it didn't really make sense at the time. Now that you explain it like that, it makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with it now. But that was one of the things I was about to just destroy. But yeah, I would like to think that he goes back to his family.
I think that... I don't know where they would go, but I think that he...
Tahiti.
I think that he like tries to actually like build a real life and family with her and the kid.
Yeah, I mean, you work so hard to get that, and then you have it, and then it just kind of, it's only put on hold because of the person that was trying to control his life, but he takes care of that, so there's nothing holding him back now. There would be no reason for him not to, other than being caught and going to jail. To finish living out that life that he wanted.
Have you seen Drive?
With
Ryan Gosling?
No.
Okay.
I think I started watching it and I didn't like it.
Drive has probably stolen the most from Thief. It is literally Thief.
With a car.
But instead of cracking safes, he's a getaway driver.
Yeah.
Literally the exact same thing.
Okay.
Like basically the same thing. But that kind of ties into what I think is crazy, how like influential this movie is. Okay, you ready for this? I'm gonna list you every like mainstream movie that has been inspired by this.
Okay.
Drive, To Live and Die in L.A., a lot of other Michael Mann projects like Heat.
Yeah, it became like what is it? An aesthetic blueprint for his later work.
Yeah. And it kind of built his foundation of like part of what his vision would be like. Mm-hmm. But I think about that. Everyone, it's like so iconic at this point, but of Michael Mann, of Val Kilmer in Heat when he crouches down and reloads the gun. And then they show that in like training schools, because that's like the most accurate depiction in a movie of that. Mm-hmm. Of reloading like a firearm in a firefight. And then this whole movie is just like that. It's just like that one little moment. You're seeing the full like thing drag out in Thief of the cracking open the safe, getting out the equipment, the actual like robbery. But and then also Miami Vice, Michael Mann Project, The Driver, the Equalizer movie, John Wick.
Is The Driver the one with the Rock?
Yes. No, no.
No. No? No. No. Okay.
John Wick, which I can see John Wick, especially like the last scene.
Yeah.
The American, Only God Forgives. This one, which is probably up there with one of my favorite soundtracks, is Good Time by the Safdie Brothers. This one is heavily inspired by Thief. And the soundtrack for both of these movies is just amazing. A Most Violent Year, Baby Driver. Blue Collar, another Michael Mann, Manhunter. Den of Thieves, Wrath of Man, The Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, okay.
Thief, a 2022 short film. Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. And The Batman.
Matt Reeves' Batman?
Yep.
Okay, I can see that.
It kind of like... relifted like the neo-noir type of style, revised it, I guess, with a new vision, and then it just kind of stuck with this one.
That would...
And a letdown. The Batman had a lot of letdowns.
Yeah, it did. And I feel like you could use that type of stuff from this movie to create a Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Like I'd love if you to like see a live action Batman Beyond.
Like the original Blade Runner,
mm-hmm.
or like the original, I think, Judge Dredd has a really good like stylistic choice. Mm-hmm. The original one, not the Carl Urban Dredd, but the original Judge Dredd with Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting type for Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Do you like Batman Beyond? I can't tell from.
Yeah, I'm actually reading Batman Beyond now.
I can't tell from your poster or two Funko Pops.
Yeah. Yeah. But I sent you those Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Arkham City one and then the Old Man Bruce with Ace.
Yeah, I want the Bane Arkham Asylum Funko Pop. It's big, but like
well, apparently
oh.
Funko Pops might go out of business next year.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They said that they can't they're not creating enough revenue to stay afloat. So it's possible. Which makes no sense because of how many people collect Funko Pops. Yeah,
that means that we gotta stock up and hope that they.
Or you could just start 3D printing them and we just paint them.
Oh, and just tell people that they're real Funko Pops.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear that.
Yeah, we won't sell them, but we.
Oh.
Yeah, we won't sell them.
Yeah, we're not gonna sell them.
Yeah, no, because that would be illegal.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of want to talk about the caricatures of like Jess and Frank.
Okay.
And like Frank is he's kind of a product of his time. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like he's almost like a 50s type of like brawler put into the 80s. I kind of thought it kind of reminded me of Tarantino said he wanted Bruce Willis to be in Pulp Fiction. Because he wanted Butch to be, like, he wanted the actor to be, like, someone who would be a star in the 50s. And someone who was, like, very, very reminiscent of that time. And I feel like, James Caan is just, like, especially how he looks in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw that into the 50s and he would have thrived. Like, he's got the perfect build, the perfect delivery, the perfect, like, attitude. And he's very, he's not, like... He's not like, oh, I don't take any crap from nobody. He's more kind of like, he has like a line,
mm-hmm.
and he has meaning behind what he does to whether it be other people or whatever, and so like when they're like wailing on him at the police station, he like doesn't really care because they don't have anything. So he's like, there's no point in fighting this.
Yeah,
it's just gonna be a losing battle. But then once. You know, his employer is like, you have to like work for me. Then he just kind of sits there, takes it, and then gets back home and then just blows everything up.
And yeah. And I think they even said it in the film that like his character like just doesn't care.
Yeah. He's like, he says, you're not scary because of like what you can do. You're scary because you don't care.
Yeah.
And then he kind of reminded me of Bane. How that guy's like, he's like yelling at Bane, and then he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he's like, "You think you have power?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "We pay you." And he's like, "How is that power?" That's how like James Caan's character is. He's kind of like, "What power do you have over me? Just because you give me money?
Yeah,
you have an authority over me." It's kind of his like viewpoint on him. That's how I thought about it.
And when he did that heist, and he gets his payday. And it was supposed to be like $810,000, and he only got like $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 out of it. Where was the employer talking about investing it into malls, or like he just keeps the rest of his cut?
I think he was trying to say that he's investing in him.
Okay.
He's like, I'm keeping you for the long haul.
Okay, because there. Like, he was talking about papers being sent to the house to look over and things like that. And you have equity in him. I needed a little bit more explanation as to what he was doing. Because what I got from him was he was taking the rest of his cut to invest it into other things that he wanted to make money off of. And just leave him with that. But then kind of give him equity, or he gets a certain... He wants him to keep doing jobs so that he could make a little bit of money, but also pretty much kind of have the employer make the bulk of it and keep it for himself.
It's kind of like he's just stringing him along. Like he's giving him not his full cut, but he's maybe giving him a little bit more, just so he keeps him around for the long haul. So he's just kind of like, so he thinks he has longevity mm-hmm. when he's really just using him. And then at the end of the movie, when he's like saying, I'm going to use you till you're burnt out, you're beat up and dead. That's mm-hmm. when he like basically is like, oh no, I'm just using you at this point.
Yeah.
And he's like calling him an idiot. And he's like, you can't do anything. Like, what are you going to do? I'll take your businesses. I'll take your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says a few nice words about what is going to happen to his wife.
Yes.
And then, he's like, you have nothing over me. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, okay, I'll just blow it up myself.
True. Yeah.
He
kind of like self-sabotaged himself so that he would not have any issues if he did lose.
When that part is happening, both times I thought of Dark Knight when he's like, some men can't be reasoned with, bargained, mm-hmm. whatever. And then I also thought of at Fight Club when the narrator and Tyler are on the bus,
mm-hmm.
and then they see like it's like a Calvin Klein ad or like an underwear ad, and then they're like, that's what a man is supposed to look like. And then he's like, self-improvement is masturbation, self-destruction. And then I don't know why I thought of that, because he's just literally killing himself, basically killing his life.
Yeah.
His dream, tangerine dream life.
Mm-hmm. Visually, everything looks really good except for when people get shot.
It did look a little weird. I do like how the blood looks. I like the visualization of that.
It looked like paint.
I liked how it...
it was very bright, but it looked like paint.
I liked how it was very thick. Leaky. It was very drippy.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was too thick. And too bright.
Yeah, it was too thick and too bright, which made
but I think just that like I think paint. the brightness of it just kind of like added to the tone of the movie, because mm-hmm. I think if it was darker, it wouldn't have the same amount of contrast.
Yeah,
that's why. For example, your shelf pops, because it's black, and then you have like dark muted tones, and then you have like bright reds,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of pops up more. There's more of a contrast with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I was just saying it didn't look great.
No, it looked a little weird. But, I mean, it didn't look as textbook bad as, like, Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
When Beatrice Kiddo, spoiler, Beatrice Kiddo, cuts off the crazy 88 guy's head. And it's just
spewing blood. Yeah. Yeah.
Which apparently Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair, is being re-released in theaters. We gotta go see that. Have you seen Kill Bill?
Yes. Yes. All right, let me give you some behind-the-scenes stories.
Okay.
So, we've already talked about some man consulted with real thieves and ex-police officers to ensure procedural accuracy. The safe-cracking techniques and equipment used on screen were authentic to professional burglars. James Caan spent time with real ex-cons to understand prison psychology. He often said Thief gave him his most emotionally complete performance, which I haven't really seen a whole lot from James Caan. Maybe
when I was explaining
right off the bat, this movie Elf. And then Elf.
When I was explaining this movie to Dad, I said that this was a prequel to Elf. I think he says that because back to like the reflections. It was supposed to show the character's like displacement
mm-hmm.
with like reality and kind of his own life and how he doesn't even fit in with himself.
Yeah. But also like the like when he's talking with his wife and stuff like that, even before when they're in the coffee shop, mm-hmm. it was very emotionally driven and very
I like that scene a lot.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. So Michael Mann's visual blueprint. Thief established Mann's signature blend of stylized urban realism and emotional detachment, which we've already talked about. The film's visual and thematic DNA can be traced through everything that you said earlier.
Hmm.
Tangerine Dream's unusual process. Now this makes a lot more sense as to the placement of the score. So They composed the score based only on script and storyboards before seeing the final cut. Mann later adjusted editing rhythms to match their music, not the other way around. So that kind of makes sense as to why some of the music is kind of
out of place.
Yes.
Because it is definitely just to build.
Yes.
It's not meant to add to it. It's meant to build up this world and how, in your head, how you think it looks.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Some fun facts for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you know, if you've known all of these.
Oh, God. I feel like I'm going to do terrible at this.
Thief was shot entirely on location in Chicago, often at night using available light.
Mm-hmm.
Did you already know that? Okay. The film inspired Michael Mann's visual approach for Miami Vice. You already know that because you already said it. And then...
passed before we even started the quiz.
I know. Yeah. Mann's meticulous attention to detail extended to the safe interiors, fully functional sets built for the film. That's pretty cool.
I also found out the other day, did you know that Batman 1989, like, they built a full, like, six-city block thing? Those paintings that they use for, like, the establishing shots?
Yes. Very good. Very good. All right. Some questions for you.
Oh, God.
Is Thief a crime thriller or a character study of obsession and alienation?
I think it's a character study. Because to me, this movie is a lot like Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Or 8.5. It's a character study with themes of, like, if it's 8.5, like filmmaking, with themes of like this. Thievery. Yep. Burglary.
Mm-hmm.
Raging Bull. It's got themes of boxing with... those are probably the best options I could name out.
Yeah. What role does the urban landscape play as a character in the film?
I do like how that was phrased, because the city itself is a character, and it almost feels like how Taxi Driver is so lonely. But that was told because he's sitting in a cab and he's just watching everyone's life, and he's just stuck and he can't really connect with anyone. And this is kind of like the opposite. He's always walking around the city, but he's always isolated. There's no one really around him, or it's really far away and the camera's just zoomed in and you're like following him, because it's almost like he's like hidden and he's alienated. And I feel like that just adds to it. And it overall just, like, builds this tone of, like, this almost dystopian type of world.
Yeah.
It almost feels like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Compare Michael Mann's portrayal of professional criminals here in Thief with his later work with... Or... Did I say Heat?
No.
Thief?
Yeah.
I said Thief? Okay. Mm-hmm. With his later work with Heat or Collateral.
I feel like this one's more raw
and
isolated, especially with Frank's character. But Heat is more of like, it's more of a, what is the ensemble?
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like you fully see all these people's stories. Like, but I do think that he nails like telling each of those character stories. Like the scene where Val Kilmer is like with his girl, and she's hits him with that, and his face just like drops. Like he nailed like the storytelling of each character, and this one I feel like was a easy foundation. Like this movie is like, to explain it to someone, this movie is the like foundation of crime movies, of what it became to be, in like neo-noir and this like alienation like type of style. This is where it kind of built on that. Didn't like do it first, but like this movie was so influential in everything it did. But it wasn't like Night of the Living Dead had some stuff that was pretty rough, but like this was like
a foundation for it. Yeah,
this was a foundation, and it was a pretty good one that not a lot could surpass.
Okay.
But all right. Yeah. This is my favorite Michael Mann movie, probably.
Nice.
Still can't wrap my head that this is a debut.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy that we've seen, like, the last three Criterions mm-hmm. have been debuts.
You know another one? Christopher Nolan has his debut as a Criterion. And I'm pretty sure Fincher's. No. Fincher's debut was Alien 3. Never mind.
Oh.
But, what was that noise? I don't know. I got a cat. Might have jumped.
Probably.
But, yeah, Christopher Nolan, his debut is up there. The Following. Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of debuts up there.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about with this movie?
Let me see what I have here. I kind of want to go back on the visual effects.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's like one that really stands out. It's when the guy, Frank's friend, gets shot when he's like jumping. Mm-hmm. And he has that like skin flap.
Yeah.
I thought that looked pretty good, considering.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was a little off. I think they all died really dramatically.
Yes.
Which is probably the only thing that like is a little off for me.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, it kinda reminded me of how like people died in Taxi Driver.
I did think that some of the deaths were a little dramatic.
What's your favorite shot of this movie, if you have one? I like that opening scene a lot. Like, that opening scene is pretty good. Pretty good cold open. But I do love that like, the boom shot at the very end when he's walking away.
I like that one. Yeah. Yeah, when I'm thinking about, like, the ending, that one is, like, what I think about. I also like the point of view of Frank after he gets knocked out and the
employer when Leo is just like standing over him.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I think that's probably my favorite.
I do like how they don't care what obstructs the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're in the hospital.
Yeah,
and the IV is just like in the frame. And
yeah,
they're just like Michael Mann's just kind of like, I don't care. What's there is there.
More real.
Yeah, like what's there is there. Mm-hmm. It's very raw.
Yeah.
I gotta talk about that soundtrack again. I just love the soundtrack. I will be listening to it when I leave here.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It I will say, it does hit a little different if you're driving near a city, and the rain had a wet down.
Mm.
Especially if it's like only illuminated by streetlights and not like really like city buildings.
Yeah.
Or like signs or whatever, then it's like it's pretty good.
Maybe I kind of wish I would have known that to kind of get that feel for it, because in Nashville, one on Friday night, it was pouring rain hard. It was wet everywhere.
That's why I on the way back from Norway, when we were driving through Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is a good one. And then I also, the last trip that we went on, I listened to the Good Time soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
On the way back. Mm. I was like, this is a good one.
You listen to a lot of soundtracks.
Yeah. I don't even know. What was it? I think I listened to, Eight and a Half yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No soundtrack. I listened to Never Back Down soundtrack today. But, where would this stand for you and Michael Mann? And has your rating gone up?
That hasn't gone up. No, it's going to stay at 3.5. I haven't really seen too much of Michael Mann, so I've seen Heat. I like Heat better.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I liked Heat, but it just didn't really stick with me. I definitely need to rewatch it, because it's been a while.
Oh, I mean, we're going to get Heat 2, so we'll do that at some point.
But, yeah, is there anything else?
No, I'm good.
Well, you can join us for Friday's episode of Movie News.
I'll be here.
And and then...
For now.
What does that mean?
Well, we're about to have a baby, so...
Okay, yeah.
I'll be out of commission for that.
And then you can see all of our other social media stuff at the top of the description. And then...
Tuesday's episode will be Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. That'll be an interesting.
I have thoughts. I feel like you will like it more than I did.
Maybe. We'll see.
But yeah. You're going away. It's not what it's supposed to be. It can't be this way. Don't you understand? I don't know. I was the only one that could pull it that fast. But ciao.